in 1 Corinthians. We're beginning now with the first verse of chapter 6. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, that is, any of you Christians, having a matter against another Christian, go to law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more are things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you, no, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you. Because ye go to law one with another, why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Now this is a principle of Christianity. We don't expect this to be carried out in the world. The Lord is not asking unsaved people not to go to law with each other. He's talking about Christians. We're going to judge the world, he tells us. That's because we're going to be associated with the Lord Jesus at the judgment of the great white throne. Christians are not going to be at the judgment of the great white throne to be judged. Our judgment has already taken place at Calvary. When God judged his Son in our place, our judgment was passed. There is therefore now no condemnation, no judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. So we're going to share with the Lord in the judging of the world and even of angels. So he says, can't you judge these small things that come up between you? Now these small things usually have to do with money. Money is a very small thing in God's opinion, but it's a very big thing in the eyes of the world. Almost everything that is done in the world today is done for love of money. It is a root of every kind of evil. If you're a Christian and someone has done you harm, try to leave it in God's hands. Don't take it out of the hands of the Lord. And if you feel that you must have someone to help you, go to the elders of the local congregation of believers. These are the ones mentioned in verse 5, is there not a wise man among you? Now the authority of an elder is confined to the local scene. There's no such thing as a bishop over a diocese in the Bible. But these elders, these older brethren, were the ones to help you to get things straightened out with your fellow Christians in a local way. Following this, he takes up the matter of all unrighteousness. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Those are sodomites. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now this is not a complete list of sinners. God has several lists in the New Testament of sins and of sinners. But this is a kind of a sampling of the wicked things that go on in this world. These things do not belong to the kingdom of God. These do not belong to God's ways. And such, he says, were some of you, in verse 11. Not all of them, but some of them were. Corinthians in the first century were notably immoral. The way to insult a man in that day was to call him a Corinthian. It was a seaport town, and every kind of ungodliness could be found there. And such were some of you. But you're washed. Let me ask you, have you been washed? How can we be washed from our sins? With water? No. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. If the blood of Christ cleanses me from all sin, then there is no sin left to be cleansed by baptism or by my own good works. God says you're washed. Not only are you washed, but you're sanctified and you're justified. Sanctified means set apart to God. To be His, to be holy, to live in such a way as to show that we belong to Him. You're justified. God has given you a right standing. You're not simply forgiven. If you were only forgiven, then every time you sinned again, you would be lost again, you'd have to be forgiven again, saved again, But justified means given a right standing. That means brought before God in a righteous way so that God can look upon us with favor and still be righteous in doing so. And this is said to be in the name or by the authority of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. This is what God has done in the lives of those who have put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you? Have you been washed? Are you washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? Now he gives the standard for behavior. In verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. He takes the same subject up again in the 10th chapter, and in these two verses he gives us three tests for what we should do as to whether or not it is pleasing to God. Now in the first part of this chapter he had told us about going to law. What is the basis of this? Is it simply a matter of righteousness? Why, of course not. Because if somebody has defrauded you, you have a righteous right to go to law and sue him and take back the things that belong to you. But there are higher standards than this. You see, Christians are not under the law. We're under grace. And when the Lord Jesus talked about the Old Testament laws, he always added something to it that made it much more strict under Christianity than under Old Testament law. And any Christian who goes back to law-keeping as his standard has fallen from grace, he tells us in Galatians 5. That doesn't mean he's lost. It means that he's come down to a lower standard of living than the high standard of grace. And so he's telling us here that God has a standard by which we decide what we are to do. Here it is. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. In the margin of your Bible, you'll find the word profitable. Excuse me. Profitable. All things are not profitable. All things are not a blessing to us or to others. We want to do what is profitable, not what is simply is legal. And then he says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. This thing that you want to do, the way you want to live now, as a Christian, I'm speaking to those who have received Christ as Savior, the things that you're wanting to do, will they be really profitable to you, to others, and especially to the Lord? Will they bring you under their power? The Lord does not want us brought under the power of any. He wants us to be under his power. He wants us to be under his authority. He wants us to do what he would like to have us to do, not to be brought under the power and control of these other things. And then in the 10th chapter, in verse 23, he says, all things are lawful, but all things edify not. The word edify means to build up. These things that you want to do, which are on the shady side, you're not right sure whether you should do them or not. Here's a test. Will they build you up spiritually? If you go to see that movie, will you be more spiritual as a result of it? If you spend your time with this kind of people in this sort of places, will you be more spiritual as a result of it? Will it build up your fellow Christians? These are the tests that the Lord asks us to apply. Why? Why? Because we are washed. We are sanctified, set apart to God. We are justified people. And because we belong to God, we need to be awfully careful about what we do. Now, he has just been telling us that there are certain things that belong to this world. The world's way is to go into the things mentioned in verses 9 and 10. The world sees nothing at all wrong with living a life of this kind. The new morality, as they call it today, is simply, do it if it doesn't hurt anybody particularly. And yet God's standards are so much higher than these. If you belong to the Lord, you're not going to want to do these things simply because they may be legitimate. But you're going to want to decide whether you could do these things or not on the basis of what they will do for you spiritually, what they will do for others, and above all, what they will do for the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, if you go to law against a fellow Christian, what are you going to do to that Christian? What's it going to do to him spiritually? Is it going to stumble him? Perhaps he feels that he is right. And the Lord says, wouldn't it be better to suffer yourself to be defrauded rather than to stumble a fellow Christian? You see, this is a very high standard. I wouldn't expect a man of the world to understand this or to be in accord with it. Of course he wouldn't. He says, it's mine, I'm going to have it. But the Lord is asking, is this the thing to do? In another place he says, are you going to destroy your brother for whom Christ died? Are you going to harm another Christian? But you say, it doesn't do me any harm. It doesn't hurt me to do this. But is it hurting some other Christian? Or is it stumbling some unbeliever? How many unbelievers there are today who are saying, well, if that's Christianity, I don't want any of it. If he's a Christian, I don't think very much of it. You don't want to be a hindrance to those who are still in their sins. Think of a man stumbling over you and being lost forever. I don't say that he isn't responsible for himself. Of course he is. But you have a responsibility, too, to live in such a way as to show others the real godliness that the Lord Jesus showed. You have been washed. You have been sanctified. You have been justified. Therefore, the Lord wants you to live in a way that will be pleasing to him.